2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by those fantastic folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, look, no more free weeks going on anymore, all right? We let the people have their opportunity to get in with us for free, but now is the time that we are locking in seriously. But make sure you go to the website, check out all the great packages that we got going on. You can get a free month of the DFS Army, though, by signing up for a new account on FanDuel, DraftKings, and some of the other sites. Once again, go to DFSArmy.com for more details. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy, who coming fresh off the live finals appearance in Chicago. I know you didn't take down the grand prize, but how was the trip?
The trip was amazing. It was a lot of fun. Had a lot of good experiences. Obviously, got to talk to a lot of good fantasy players there as well, both in the tournament and not in the tournament. It was a lot of fun. So
wait, so you just had other people hanging out there at the tournament?
Yeah, man. Some of these.
If I'm not in it, I'm not going.
Yeah, well, some of these guys had a, or not some of these guys, but there were some guys that had a, you know, vested interest in the guys that they that were there. So it's just kind of one of those things, like, you know, yeah, I'm gonna be here because I basically invested a bunch of people or event a time into getting my people here, and now they're here, so I'm gonna enjoy it as well. So
I got you. Yeah. You know what? I shouldn't say that. Yeah. Like if you were like, oh, guess what? Heather can't go. No, you got to go. I'd be like, okay, that's cool. Free trip to Chicago. Almost free. But no, that's all very cool and well. No, I have no idea who the guy is that won, but, you know, congratulations to him. Blah, blah, blah. Much rather you taking it down, but tis is life. Yeah. So that day that you were at the live final, I was actually in Philly sweating out a meaningless Phillies Mets game. So
yeah, I was actually we got to, obviously we hang out with a bunch of people, but during that game we were actually, McJester had actually stacked that whole game in a couple different ways. He had two entries. He had the Phillies in one and some Mets, and then he had the Phillies and Mets game stacked. Completely.
Which looked like a great idea in the first inning.
Oh yeah, he was like top three, you know, there for a while, and then all of a sudden it kind of just, you know, there were others that decided that they wanted to screw everybody up, and then of course my dumb butt just stacked the Reds, and I'm still hearing it from social media, because if I would have just played the freaking Rockies or the freaking optimal lineup, I'm sitting here looking at something, but if I would have just played our optimal lineup instead of finishing in 78th or fourth or whatever I did, I can't even remember anymore, would have finished top 15 and brought home close to about another 10K. So,
wow. You know, it's hysterical. Well, not that funny. But I actually did mention, I said, yeah, you know, might as well take a shot and play with the optimal lineup, because then we could market it as a live final winning, you know, optimizer or something like that. But obviously, you know, in a live final, you got to take some chances that other people aren't taking. So.
And see, what's funny is, like, I it's not that I got cute, because, you know, we talked a lot going into that game and everything. I followed the Vegas run totals, and it just didn't work out. I stand by the reasoning behind what I did and everything, but You know, it's I've never been – I was always against optimal lineups there for a long, long, long time. You know, just kind of blindly running out stuff and optimizers and, you know, scripting and all this other stuff. I've had to learn to embrace it because I figured out that even though I'm the guy behind the projections, my model that I created is way smarter than I am. and it works. You know, it works. So it might not work every single day, but that's obvious. But it works. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to stop trying to get cute in smaller contests and, you know, stick to a strategy and you know, trust my projections as much. Because I didn't. And it, you know, it hurt. So, but that's okay. Got back on the grind and going to have some fun, started playing some play draft, doing some slow ball, best ball, or slow draft, best ball leagues. We have an announcement to make, Mr. Walsh.
All right. You did. You teased it, so you can no longer hold that on the people.
We now currently have a new sponsor until week one of the NFL season. And I will be explaining a lot more when I'll be doing an interview with the guy. Is going to explain exactly how this site works. But it was one of the guys that me and Wags met down at the National Fantasy Football Convention down in Dallas.
Very nice.
The site is called Fantasy Football Evolution. And, guys, it is an absolutely – it's a unique way of playing fantasy. It's they have a 2017 World Championship. The grand prize is $25,000. Okay.
Oh my.
I'll let the FFE rep actually talk about how to play this game and explain it a little bit more in depth. But they are absolutely one of the. It's not daily and it's not season long. It's a shorter time span, but the concept is absolutely freaking amazing. And you tell me that I can win 25K off of a $25 investment, I'm in.
Yes, I will certainly be in.
Especially if it's not just like a one time thing. Like if it's, you know, putting in $25 into DFS tournament's nothing, you know, to win 25K. But I don't have to do that every week in order for my chance to win it. And that's what's kind of cool about this site. I'll let them the guy's name is actually Scott, but Fantasy Football Evolution is actually going to be our sponsor. Guys, if you're in the DFS Army, please go sign up and play with them. It's funny, Aaron doesn't listen to this and he doesn't know it yet, but I'm gonna have him create some contests and stuff over there. We're really gonna start getting everything together this weekend and really start pushing it hard on Monday. So it's a new way to play. I know we have other things and other ways to play as well. But, guys, it's football. It happens once a week. You can manage a lot of leagues and a DFS bankroll with NFL. So you might not be able to do it with NBA or MLB, but you can definitely do it with NFL. So it is by far, it's a nice clean layout on the site. I'm actually really excited for this, not only because it's our first official sponsor of the DFS Army Daily Dispatch, but also because I spent a lot of time talking with the guys and talking about different concepts and stuff with their site, and I'm actually very, very excited to have some shots at this $25,000 grand prize. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool. So, a nice trip to Dallas does not end up being, you know, an all for nada. So that's good that we get that going. Yeah, very cool, very cool. We are expanding, folks. Hop on or get run over.
Yep. Oh, the train's like pulling out. So.
Chew freaking chew. All right, we're ready to break down the slate today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, let's start off with some pitching today. At the top, we've got three of the best in the game, but, you know, let's break them down. Max Scherzer up against the San Diego Padres, Corey Kluber at the Kansas City Royals, and Dallas Keuchel up against the Oakland Athletics. We'll start with Scherzer because that's probably going to be the most popular of the bunch being at San Diego tonight. When I saw it last night, Nationals opened up as -205 favorites, decent enough on the road. Keep in mind, Max Scherzer does have 37 strikeouts over his last five starts, but as I had been just calmly reminded, one of those starts was actually the one where Scherzer only went one inning. So you want to break it down, 37 strikeouts in his last four full starts, because you know, no strikeouts in the one inning start, but Scherzer does have at least 9 strikeouts in all of his starts, except that one since July. So that's a good number. And then with Corey Kluber, his 57 strikeouts over the last 5 starts are the most in the majors. He's 4-0.
Now, wait a second here. Hold on.
What?
I know you're giving good stats, and I don't want to, like, bomb your information. But how are you going to compare 4 starts to 5 starts?
Well, you can say, all right, the 57 and 5, that's, what, 11 and change. You look at Scherzer's 37 over 4 starts. That's just over 9 per start.
Right, so you're discrediting a start for Scherzer.
I am. I mean, what? All right, if we want to, like, just – all right, so we say
so
9
Kluber's
was the
last
average.
4 starts.
All right. Well, oh, God, now I got to do more math. My goodness. But still, I mean, all right, so the average of those would have worked out. Anywho – it's not exactly the easiest matchup for Kluber tonight. We've got, you know, you got a couple guys on the Royals that have hit him pretty well with the BVP, and then you got a couple other guys that have not done so well. So you got a little half-half situation. And then Dallas Keuchel, Astros -230 favorites tonight. The 2-0 against the A's this season, 16 strikeouts, 14 and two-thirds innings. However, we know with Keuchel, he hasn't been on the top of his game lately. We've also known that the A's haven't been that great against left-handed pitching. Of the three, what are you most looking favorably on?
I mean, this might be the chalk answer, but I don't know how you can't go with Scherzer. You know, you brought up every good point except for the K's for the starts that I was kind of giving you a little bit of crap about. But, I mean, Scherzer in San Diego against that Padres team that strikes – that's I mean, statistically, it's the worst team in baseball. Now they have, you know, shown a little bit more power recently against right-handed pitching. But, I mean, this is Scherzer. Come on. I guess the one thing that you start to worry about is, you know, exactly how long, if this game is in hand, how long are they going to let him go? You know, with the old neck issues, with the fact that, you know, the Nationals really, they're not playing for anything. They can't get home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the National League. The Dodgers have, by far and away, already run away with that one. I mean, it's just Kluber's pitching better currently, I would say. But he is also going against a team that, like you said, they're interdivision. They've seen him a lot. They've actually kind of hit him pretty hard, you know, over the course of their meetings together. It's just something that I don't want to mess with. Maybe in tournaments, since I think a lot of people are going to say, okay, he's going to be less owned. Maybe in pick 'em style on DK. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't see a way that Scherzer doesn't get the win, 10 Ks. I guess the only other thing that you could say is which one of these top two are more likely to get the win? I mean, the Nationals offense without Bryce Harper is not the same.
No. And
I
Vegas.
Mean, they average almost, I think it's almost a full run less when he's out of the lineup.
Yeah, I've noticed this a lot. I mean, you're looking – and I've heard about this in the NFL a lot where, you know, some quarterbacks will be worth, you know, as much as like 5-6 points on the Vegas, you know, spread for a game. But with baseball, I've certainly seen it with Bryce Harper over these last couple of days. There's, I mean, like last night, the Padres were actually favored over the Nationals. You know, you had that matchup of Chacín against Edwin Jackson, but I mean, I guess they were putting a lot of clout into Chacín's home numbers. But you've seen it typically with the with Bryce Harper and the Nationals lineup on just a random given day, you know, pitchers, you know, aside. Nationals are typically a -190 favorite, you know. You and then the last couple of days since Bryce Harper hasn't been there, there's been a couple games where you're just like, huh? And then you got the Nationals just barely a favorite. In that series against the Angels, there were a couple games there where I said, all right, you know, like this line just does not look right. Try to go with the Angels, you know, just didn't necessarily work out. But yeah, you're certainly seeing that Vegas puts a lot of clout in the Nationals with Bryce Harper. So again, I think they'll be fine tonight. I've seen the Padres be a pain in the ass a couple times here in recent memory. You know, their strikeout rate recently, as opposed to what they've done over the whole season, you know, those numbers are certainly not the same. But yeah, when you're looking at the rest of the slate, I certainly think that Scherzer is your guy. I know you've kind of been trying to, you know, get on this Dallas Keuchel train a little bit before everybody else. What do you think about him tonight?
I'm still off.
Okay.
I mean,
I remember there was a time where you thought, yeah, maybe we could get on a little early.
Yeah, it was, you know, after a couple starts, maybe they were going to, you know, include or start, you know, trying to stretch him out and everything. He's looked horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has looked absolutely freaking horrible, and it has not even been a question. I mean, you just look at his last 10 games. I say that. And then he goes out and he throws 6 2/3 in Texas. That was the day of the live final. Yep. And that game was not on the slate. That game was of zero importance to me.
If that makes you feel any better, I had no idea that he threw that start either. So
I mean, it's the A's. I guess if you're throwing multiple entries in, maybe a couple, but I don't. I'm going to have to look into the velocity numbers and everything. Maybe, you know, on my DVR, go find that start, or on MLB.tv and really watch that, because everything that I had seen showed me that Keuchel was not done. I don't want to say done, but he was horrible. Like, just everything was bad about it. Now, the Rangers are bad versus left-handed pitching, but it's not like the A's are any better.
Right. I mean, look, Keuchel, you know, he's done pretty well against the Rangers, so you can take that into account. But, I mean, look, Keuchel at home, we know that he's a much different pitcher. His last home start was against the Rays. That did not go so well, but that was also in the midst of him, you know, really struggling. Was that the neck injury, correct, for him?
Yeah.
Next. So, I mean, look, he has shown one start coming back a little bit, but I still do think that the price for Keuchel is a little much, not necessarily knowing what we're going to get. But I don't know, man. At home, I'm definitely willing to take that chance a little more.
Yeah, and I think you can. I just don't know if he's somebody that I would throw out there to compare with, you know, a Kluber or a Scherzer. I think the mid-tier is actually kind of underpriced on DK.
All right, let's talk about it.
Can we talk about Zach Godley going up against the Twins? I mean, seriously.
We can.
He's 8,400, okay? Now, I know that the Twins hit, you know, they can hit, but they don't hit very well versus right-handed pitching. He's actually my fifth ranked pitcher on my board today. Just edging out Carlos Martinez. I mean, this is a guy that, over his last 10 games, he's averaged pitching into the sixth inning. I mean, his lowest he's given you at least 5 2/3 every single game.
I'm looking, man. I like what I see here, especially 3-3, 3-3, 2.72 ERA and 9 road starts this season. Gotta like that.
And I mean, Minnesota's not a team that scares me. Sure, they've got guys like Sano and Kepler and, you know, Dozier, but I mean, are you really afraid of those guys with the talent that Zach Godley has shown this year? I'm not. I mean, can he? I mean, this is baseball. It's August. Anything can happen. But what's most likely to happen? As an SP2, if you pair him up with a Max Scherzer who's 14-1, it gives you about 3,500 per left at every position. You go punt like catcher and shortstop tonight, and then you're good. Now, what the decision's going to be, are you going to play that type of combination, or are you going to load up on Coors Field and Texas, you know, and Baltimore? Because those are the three games that you have to really kind of watch out for tonight.
Yeah, I like them bats. Yeah, you know, in looking at Godley a little deeper, I'm kind of shocked by the number of strikeouts that he's had. 109 in 106 2/3 of an inning. So just averaging over one per inning there. Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, we've all known about Godley this season. We played him in spots where it's been favorable. But, you know, again, I don't think that this is a terrible way to go. You know, just looking at it a little deeper, I'm certainly going to look at it a lot more, you know, before we go in the lock. But again, you're not trying to, you know, to match Scherzer and Kluber with a guy like Godley. But, you know, you can keep pace and certainly get yourself some more bats. Certainly a viable strategy for tonight.
Yeah, especially like on DraftKings where you can pair these guys up, you know, mix and match. Just make sure you find some good punts. And they're out there, guys. This is August approaching September. The punts are out there.
And something interesting, too, you want to look get a little deeper into the splits. At night, Godley, 4-2, 2.21 ERA, as compared to the daytime, 1-3, 4.34 ERA. I like the Nuggets, man.
Yep.
Nuggets, they're so tasty. All right, we've got other options here. You mentioned Carlos Martinez a bit there. I like him tonight against the Pirates. He does have good numbers against a lot of this team, with the exception of Starling Marte and Gregory Polanco. So I am a little bit worried about those guys, but, you know, he's got a good park to pitch in tonight in Pittsburgh. So I could certainly get down with that. You got Drew Pomeranz, 7-2, 3.43 ERA, and 12 starts at Fenway Park this season. And I know you're probably going to flinch, but I got to mention him since they're such high favorites. But Rich Hill against the Tigers tonight. Granted, Tigers excellent against left-handed pitching, but you know, he'll can certainly get some strikeout numbers going. Any interest in those three there?
With who? Sorry.
Carlos Martinez, Pomeranz, and Rich Hill.
No on Rich Hill. Pomeranz scares me because it's the Yankees and Red Sox. And Carlos Martinez, I like, but I have to look into the recent history.
All right. Yeah, I was gonna say, with Yankees Red Sox tonight, monumental series for these two teams. You know, Yankees just coming off that 4-game sweep of the Mets. I commend them greatly for that. But you know, in a game like this, I don't think, you know, I doubt we're going to see a ton of runs in this game. You know, it should be like one of those 3-2 games pretty much the entire series. But, I mean, I would think that bodes well for pitching. But, you know, another thing, too, I could see both of these teams using their deep bullpens. Any thoughts?
Not after last night. Because the prolonged rain delay and everything like that, I think they're gonna ask these guys to try to go as deep as they can.
I'm talking about Boston Yankees, not.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, you're obviously looking at something else. What's on your computer screen, Keith? What's on the screen? Show everyone. Show the whole class what you've been drawing.
Loose Meister talking about how... Oh, my gosh. Loose, I love you, brother. But, dude, please. Stop arguing.
Okay.
He's saying that we'll get to it later. I don't know. I hate playing Boston and Yankees when they play each other because and this is a cliche, but you can basically throw the dang matchups out the window because there's no telling what's going to happen. We can try to guess, but I mean, we've seen Pomeranz get blown up against the Yankees, and we've seen him pitch gems against the Yankees. So, I mean, take your pick.
Right.
I don't mind it in tournaments on, like, DK, but on FanDuel, I'm not going there.
Yeah, I'm interested in because let's see here with the Yankees. Now, they lost 2-3 to the Red Sox in the Bronx. They sweep the Mets in this one. So, you know, you got to think about this, too, for them. I mean, it's been touted all week here on the Yankees channel. It's rivalry week going. You know, I mean, they might be a little worn down. I mean, I don't think they exerted too much energy in sweeping the Mets. But, again, I still think it's a series where it's like, all right, you know, they're going to have a lot of meaningful games here. Maybe they slip up here a little bit at the end in this series. You know, just, you know, something to think about in GPPs tonight. But, I mean, I'm you know me. I'm a Pomeranz apologist. I always will be.
Oh, dude. I mean, we've done very, very well riding that bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if, like, I don't know if I really, especially with possibly weather.
Right.
I don't know if I really want to go there. In anything other than a sprinkle or two in GPPs.
Fair enough. All right, let's play the yay or nay game. Everyone's favorite. I'm just going to rattle off some pitchers. Yay, nay. Germán Márquez, 170 favorites. Brewers have the highest K rate in every regard, but we got a total of 12 on this game. Yay or nay, Germán Márquez?
Nay.
Nay? Okay. Trevor Williams going up against the Cardinals. Got a decreasing total. All right. He says nay already. Doesn't even want to hear
Cardinals
the rest
of the hottest. Cardinals are one of the hottest teams in baseball right now.
Trevor Williams, sneaky good.
I'm not saying he's not, but like, I don't want to go up against I just don't want to go up against him right now.
Okay. Fair enough. Sean Manaea at Houston. Great numbers against the Astros. 17 Ks in 16 2/3 innings against them.
This year?
Yes.
Where have those starts been?
Deeply hidden in the tombs of
What park?
Oh, I believe one at each.
Ooh. Interested.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think he's had three. I'm sorry. Three starts against him this season, but yeah, you got to dig into that. But those are correct.
Interested, and the reason why is we've talked about how the Astros kind of struggle at home a little bit.
Yep. Let's see here. Only one of those were at Minute Maid Park. That one didn't go so well, but he only allowed one earned run in 5 2/3. The other two at O'Dock.
Just no strikeouts.
Three strikeouts in the one at Houston. But
I'm interested.
Okay.
It depends on the lineup, I guess, that the Astros roll out. Mm-hmm. They have one of the deeper 25-man rosters in baseball right now. It's very, very, very versatile, I guess, is the thing you would say.
Right.
I know Springer's back. I don't think he's been I don't think he's done that well. I'm looking. Springer has. Yeah. I mean, he had three hits against Arizona a couple nights ago. Hasn't hit for any power. He's hit one home run in the last 10 games, so. I'm not.
he's not the guy that he was before he got hurt. So I'm not as scared about it, especially with Carlos Correa not in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I think Jose Altuve is going to be pretty chalky at second base tonight. You know, lefty versus Altuve. Come on. I mean, this is definitely a deep tournament play for Manaea, but the success that he's had has me very interested.
All right. Two more, both on the West Coast tonight, but Matt Moore up against the Phillies.
You know, Moore's looked very good over the last couple games. Or decent. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's actually looked pretty decent over the last couple games. A lot better than what he has. Now, the last game against Washington was just downright freaking amazing. But, Sunday. You know, 7-9 strikeouts the last two games. Those are both against the Nationals and the Cubs. I mean, he's got some potential here. I don't know if I want to pay that $7,500 price tag
right.
for FanDuel.
Bit steep.
It's a bit steep, especially considering what you're going to be going up against in the same time slot. But, yeah, nay. I'm just going to go nay.
Okay.
The Phillies are pesky. We saw them kind of poke around Scherzer or Samardzija last night. The Giants' defense is not very good. I know that doesn't play a ton into it, but it should play a little bit. They're old and slow in the outfield. You know, Pablo Sandoval is not as nimble as he once was at third base just because of the health issues.
And the cultivating mass issues.
Yeah.
He's big.
He's lighter than he was the last time he was in San Francisco.
Still monstrous. Still monstrous.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to go there.
All right. Fair enough. Real quick, last one. Luis Perdomo against the Nationals. Again, without Harper, Nationals. They have struggled a bit.
They have. And this is where it's interesting. I'm going to have to look at the heat maps. But you're going to have Adam Lind in the lineup. You're going to have, obviously, Zimmerman and everybody else in the lineup as well.
Yeah, the appeal here with Perdomo, 5,900 on FanDuel, and he's gone at least six innings in five straight starts.
I don't know if I can go there.
Okay.
Not with how loaded tonight's slate is.
All right, fair enough. All right, those are all your pitching options. Again, you want to check something out later. You can if you're a member of the DFS Army, you can check out all our great tools in the VIP page. And, again, I will have all those pictures that I mentioned today on Walsh's Wingmen coming out at about 5 o'clock Eastern today. So check that out. All right, let's talk about stacks before we break it down positionally. We mentioned a couple. I know Baltimore, Colorado, and the Angels were probably going to be some of the more popular ones. But any of those you want to break down in depth or other ones we haven't even thought about today?
Baltimore is one of the hottest teams against right-handed pitching this over the last 30 days. If you just look,
lefty, though, right?
What's that?
I think they're facing a lefty tonight. No,
Andrew Heaney's a righty, is he not?
Lefty, definitely a lefty.
Oh, I had it wrong. My right. bad. okay, well, it's not like they're bad against lefties right now.
Right.
374 wOBA, 196 ISO over the last 30 days, only a 17.8% strikeout rate. I don't mind going there at all. I love the combination of Tim Beckham, Adam Jones, Manny Machado, and whatever monstrosity they decide to put in that four hole. actually, I'm sorry, it's been backwards. They've slotted Chris Davis down to that seventh spot. and put Beckham in the one hole. It's been Beckham, Machado, Scope, Jones, Mancini, Trumbo. That's hard to pass up. I mean, the overall DFSA grade for the Baltimore Orioles is a 65.83.
Yahtzee.
So
this is a pretty interesting matchup here between the two teams, because you got the Angels, who've just very quietly snuck into that second wild card spot. So, and then you got the Orioles that are three games behind them. So should be a very, very interesting weekend here in Baltimore. Loving it. We got a total of 10.5 in this game. Jeremy Hellickson goes for the Orioles, and he's actually been phenomenal. Now, I know we didn't mention him in the thing, but I've seen him enough with the Phillies to know that he is not phenomenal all the time. So I do like some Angels in this one very sneakily. Again, man, just don't sleep on these Angels. They had a pretty good series there at Washington. Not necessarily winning. They didn't win the series, I don't think, but they did hang close in pretty much every game. I know that they ended up getting the finale of that one. So, again, you know, this is going to be a common theme with us today, since neither of us were at home on Sunday, all these guys going, but Hellickson did get blown up against Oakland in his last start there, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, I just kind of saw that, so.
Okay, like, this is going to happen all day. It's going to be like, oh, well, wait a minute, on Sunday when I didn't see it, so. All right, fair enough. Yeah, I like both of those guys. Your Rockies today at home, I mean, the other night was phenomenal. What was it, 17 they ended up putting up on Atlanta?
Yeah, that was the night of my anniversary.
I had happy anniversary, by the way. I had Gerardo Parra that night, and that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, if you had Rockies that night, then you did pretty well. So,
who the hell is going for the Brewers tonight?
Matt Garza.
Matt Garza, how you?
Oh, speaking of which, Matt Garza. Okay, Garza has not faced the Rockies this season. However. He is 2-5 with a 6.10 ERA in 7 career starts against him.
Delicious.
Marquez has made one career start against the Brewers on October 2nd of 2016, allowing 2 runs over 6-plus innings while striking out 7 in a no decision. Here's what makes the Rockies even more stackable. Through June, Garza had a 41.5% of balls put in play against Garza were line drives or fly balls. That's excluding infield pop-ups. But that has jumped to 58% since then, and potentially hazardous sign as the righty heads to Coors Field. Yeah. Now, here's the kicker. Nolan could not be in the lineup.
Ruh-roh.
So you're going to have Charlie, DJ. If Nolan's not in the lineup, it's probably going to be Parra, then Reynolds. Ryan McMahon's going to be in there. Carlos Gonzalez. Jonathan Lucroy, who, as I told you, was going to be close to a $4,000 player by the end of August. He is not yet, because FanDuel does not do their pricing right. But
I was about to say, I was like, this is going to be a really long drum roll.
No, but if you look at it, he's got 5 hits over the last 2 games. He has, since getting into Colorado, let's see here. I completely forgot what game he got in there. But ever since the 9th of August, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hits. That's over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games.
That's good. It's good. 3 extra base hits the last 2 days. I will still wait till he hits his streak. You know, I put so much hate stock into him, I can't jump off at this point. But good numbers, and he's facing one of his former teams today. So
yeah, and he should slide up in the lineup if Nolan's not in there. They've actually been hitting him, I think, seventh, and Trevor Story eighth. So it's if Nolan's not in the lineup, it's gonna be a little bit different.
Now, I remember your boy McMahon from the Futures game. I listened to what they were saying, but I thought he could jump in at third tonight, right? If Nolan's not in the lineup.
Yeah, he'll either be at third or at first. I'm assuming he's probably going to be at third. It's either going to be him or Pat Baleka. I'm assuming against the righty, it's probably going to be him. Now, here's the problem: is he's at third base on FanDuel,
yes.
But he's only 3,000. There is a chance that he only gets three at bats.
No,
because Bud Black will play the matchup game later on in the game.
Boo this man.
So it's kind of one of those things like you just want him to do his damage early.
Right.
And you hope that he does.
It's $3,000 at Coors, man. Whew.
Oh, dude, you can build Jesus. A cheap Rocky stack tonight.
I dig. All right. What else are we looking at here in terms of stacking? I'm looking that entire Mets-Marlins game has jumped up a full run. Marlins IRT, implied run total, has jumped up 0.6. That's the highest so far on the slate here at 12:47 Eastern time. And the Mets have actually jumped up 0.4 themselves. So this could be an interesting one. It's Chris Flexen against Justin Nicolino tonight.
I see it, but the Mets can't hit the broadside of a barn right now.
Yeah, they did just face the Yankees for four straight games. I'll give them a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, and name the starters other than Luis Severino in that Yankees series.
Jaime Garcia.
Trash.
I don't even remember who started the first two.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's not because I don't know who they are. That's because I just don't remember.
But see, that's what I'm saying. That's because they're not memorable. They can't hit.
Well, you got to think about it too, right? All right, Yankees go to their bullpen a little earlier than most teams.
You don't think Don Mattingly is going to go play with his bullpen a little bit if Justin Nicolino gets in trouble?
I'm sure he will. With the Marlins bullpen is not the Yankees bullpen.
That I agree with you on.
So I don't know. I mean, you know what's interesting, though? The Mets actually, you look over the last 14 days, last 30 days, they're one of the higher K-rate teams in the league, which I did not even see coming, but I'm glad I picked
up
on that.
That's why we loaded up on Severino yesterday.
Well, there are many reasons. I'll take Severino against pretty much anybody.
Now, what has me worried in this game, okay, the only Mets hitters I'm really on would be Cespedes, Conforto. Maybe if I need some salary relief, if he's at the top of the lineup, Juan Lagares or Ahmed Rosario, depending on where he's at in the lineup. But what has me weird is the fact that this game is pretty much a pick 'em.
Mm-hmm. Good. So maybe they'll just go back and forth with runs.
What is it? 9.5?
That's a 10. I thought.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't do my math right.
It's only.
I don't. If I'm going anywhere, it's the Marlins. And I'll go. Depending on the stolen base numbers. Depending on who's catching. I don't think you have to be worried about either one of them. But I'm probably leaning to the 2-5 stack. Stanton, Yelich, Ozuna, Realmuto, or Dietrich, whoever's in that five hole.
Okay.
That's probably where I'm leaning if I'm looking at this game.
All right. Here's the one that was very interesting to me, the Los Angeles Dodgers. So we talked about, you know, Rich Hill a little bit in the pitching open, you know, being a massive favorite tonight. But that game does have a total of 10 on it. So given the fact that they're massive favorites with the high total, with Rich Hill on the mound, nonetheless, I would assume Dodgers bats are going to be raking tonight, and not to mention Jordan Zimmermann is on the mound for the Tigers tonight. Yeah. Advantage Dodgers.
I think if you want to fade Coors for around the same prices as a lot of these Rockies and Brewers bats are, I think the Dodgers are probably your dollar for dollar pivots. I mean, come on, Chris Taylor, Cody Bellinger, these guys are rookies and they're 37 and 4,400 respectively. Yasiel Puig in the freaking eighth spot still can't get over 3K, and he's a steal against a right-handed pitcher. Yeah, you talk about reverse splits. Go look at Yasiel Puig this year. You want to talk about something completely opposite of what we thought we had nailed. That was different. I mean, Taylor, Seager, Turner, Bellinger. You can even throw in Jock Peterson because he's got light tower power. Grandal, Yasiel Puig. Depending on who else they throw in there, I mean, it just, oh my gosh. There's options here. But I'm interested in some of these guys that hit lefties for the Detroit Tigers a little bit.
Yep.
Justin Upton, Nick Castellanos will be in that two hole. James McCann. I mean, Ian Kinsler, Mikey Matuk right now is grading out really, really well. And these guys are cheaper.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm one of those big advocates that I'm not a slave to price when it comes to MLB DFS. Unless it's like pitchers, but I just
see. I like that matchup there for the Tigers against Hill. That I like. It's later in the game, up against the bullpen. So again, just like we were talking about with McMahon, you kind of hope that your damage gets done really early, because that bullpen,
they better
is certainly
get to him
not
in
the
first
one you want
to
go to
at bats. And they better hope that Zimmermann is at least contains these guys a little bit. Because if this game's close, the value that you're getting for some of these prices, like on Justin Upton and Ian Kinsler, is not going to be there as far as a dollar per at bat and with a positive matchup.
Yeah,
I mean, you're hoping for two or three, but if you're expecting four or five,
you know what's funny too is that, you know, you might as well just be putting like if you've been a Dodger stacker all year, or a Dodger homer all year, you're probably doing pretty well in DFS, because it doesn't matter how many runs these guys are down. Like, every night they're doing something dramatic. Now, I know that they don't get the final at bat tonight unless they're losing. But it's just been amazing, their resiliency not to lose, even though they've got this massive lead. So
no, but you're guaranteed 9 innings of Dodgers bats,
yes,
no matter what.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and it makes me sick being around this team, by the way.
I knew it would. All right, any other stacks to look at before we move along to individual positions?
Texas.
Tejas. I like it. Who's going for the White Sox tonight?
James Shields.
Hey, how did he not get brought up at the beginning?
Because there's enough gas cans that you didn't have to bring him up.
Gotcha.
Look, we know the struggles that these guys, that Shields has against lefties. They're going to be chalky. Ronald Odor, Joey Gallo, Nomar Mazzara, and Chu Chu. I would even throw in guys like Robinson Chirinos, Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrews. I do not care about the splits in this matchup tonight. I'm full on Texas. This is another, you know, dollar for dollar type pivot off of Colorado. And teams like Texas, Baltimore, the Dodgers, you know, these games or these teams are going to make Colorado lower owned as well. So, and I'm about to shock the DFS Army here.
Oh.
I like the Brewers as a stack.
Okay.
I don't like one-offs. I like them as a stack. Why? Okay. Three reasons. One, Germán Márquez is starting to become chalky.
Yee.
And I'm sorry, I love the kid. I really, really do. I'm probably one of the biggest advocates for playing Colorado pitchers in Coors, especially these young guys, because they just don't know any better. You know, they're not scared of the monster. But we're talking about Ryan Braun, Eric Thames, Travis Shaw, Domingo Santana. These guys can hit. And I'm sorry, all it takes is one.
One.
And look, I know the appeal with Márquez. I know the appeal with Márquez. But when Matt Garza grades out higher than you,
oh boy,
you have my attention as far as a Milwaukee stack. And nobody in the Army is going to agree with me, and they're all going to think I lost my mind.
No, I get it. You know, I get it. And again, too, for GPPs, we gotta get all sorts of weird with things out there. So I certainly dig it. I think that's it that I've got for stacks. Yankees implied run total has gone up 0.4. You know, that's interesting against Pomeranz. But that's really all I got. So you good on stacks?
I'm good on stacks.
Fabulous. All right, let's break it down around the diamond. We'll start with catchers. Don't know how you go anywhere else besides Gary Sanchez, because he's been by far the best hitting catcher in the league. 10 for 24, 4 homers, 11 RBIs over the last 7 games. Fantastic BVP against Pomeranz as well. 6 for 13 with 3 homers. Again, he's going to be pricey, but certainly got the combination that we love of on fire, BVP equals fire emoji.
Yeah.
Not the Gilzilla's fire emoji. I hate how I always have to explain that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you. But I tell you how you fade Gary Sanchez. You just don't click the button next to his name with the little plus symbol.
But I like that plus symbol.
I know. But you can go to guys like Yasmani Grandal for cheaper against Jordan Zimmermann.
Oh, now hold on. I failed to mention this, but during the this is a much different Jordan Zimmermann that is facing these Dodgers this time around. But Grandal was one for 12, 6 Ks against them. I know it's a much different Zimmermann, but you got to throw it out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Carry on. Sorry.
I can go to Jonathan Lucroy against Garza.
You're a Lucroy fan, yes.
James McCann versus Rich Hill. Wellington Castillo versus Andrew Heaney.
Ah, yes, I like that route.
How about Mike Zunino against Austin Pruitt?
I can do that. I'm more enamored.
I mean,
it's not as good as Wellington Castillo against Andrew Heaney. I mean, come on.
My whole thing is like, I like paying up for Gary Sanchez when he's contrarian, like when he's not gonna be chalk. When he starts, and I feel like it alternates between him and Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever's going to be higher owned. But because he's a Yankee, because of the pub, they get national media attention.
Junkies baseball.
Yeah, and because he's a righty going up against a lefty in Boston. I mean, yeah, he might hit a home run, but Is Gary Sanchez hitting a home run at 30% going to win you a tournament? Probably not.
Do you think he'll be 30%, though? Because, like, last night, I think it was pretty easy to fit him in with Severino, you know, being at his price. But tonight, you know, most people are going to Corey Kluber or Scherzer. Yeah, it's kind of hard to wiggle the rest of your lineup. But Sanchez...
In mid-August with all the value that's out there.
Did Sanchez's price drop?
36. He was...
Was he 41 last night? I might be going crazy, but... I don't know.
I don't think I played Gary Sanchez.
Okay. Gary Sanchez is not as expensive as I thought he would be. So, yeah, I'm sure he will be chalky, but you're right. I do like Castillo there. I'm glad we had this talk. We do it every Monday, Tuesday, Friday, folks. Any other catchers here? Any cheap ones we're not thinking
Gary
about?
Gary Sanchez was 4,100 last night.
He was. Ha! I know my
He hits a home run, five RBIs, and he goes down to 3,600.
And he also put another one on the warning track that put Cespedes' wall on his back on the wall. I was just saying.
Yeah, I just can't do it.
Fair enough. Looking at cheaper options tonight, you do have Travis d'Arnaud, $2,000 going up against the lefty. I know, it's up against the lefty.
No, it's a catcher that we're not going to talk about because he plays this afternoon. Miguel Montero returns home to face Jake Arrieta.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you think that – I forgot who the freaking manager – the name of the manager is. You don't think he did that on purpose?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
And you don't think that he's going to be fired up? Oh, my God. You want to talk about hashtag narrative street. Oh, sorry. That is my
all good.
Excitement.
All good.
Wow,
Robinson Chirinos jumped all the way up to 2,900.
He's still cheaper than Gary Sanchez, and he's facing James Shields. Sign me up. 363 wOBA, 250 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Not afraid at all.
Not afraid. Who else we got here? Martin Maldonado. Don't like what he's been doing recently, but. Pretty damn cheap against Hellickson tonight. And Yan Gomes, 2,100. Interesting.
Is he?
He is.
I know he homered in the day game.
He did.
And he sat out the night game. So, yeah, he might be in that lineup again. I currently have Roberto Perez in the game, but that just could be because of the fact that he caught the night game. So, yeah, that could be the reason why.
Another interesting one I got here. Now, I know we talked about Manaea is doing pretty well against the Astros this season, but Max Stassi, guy just called up for the Astros. A lot of injuries to their catching position, but he's minimum price there on FanDuel today. He'll get the platoon advantage against Manaea, so that could be an interesting way to go.
Could be.
And Cam Rupp homered Oppo Taco last night. Against Jeff Samardzija, he gets the matchup with Matt Moore today. He's only 2,100 on FanDuel.
He was on Boomers Bombers.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he homered against Moore earlier this season. But he did. He did. Very nice. Yes, all right, yes. Michelle, look into it then.
Let's see here. Jeez.
What's up?
Holy BVP.
He got it.
Moustakas and Hosmer.
Oh, yeah.
When we get there. No, I'm looking for Cameron Rupp, and I don't see him.
All right.
Hold.
Please hold.
And because it's easy for me to filter. No, actually, two at bats career versus Matt Moore. 0 for 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 0. Now, he does have one batted ball event. And that exit velocity was a 97.9. So
see,
hit him
look
hard.
At that.
It just had no results.
Look at that. I guess it was Freddie Galvis that homered against him. Or I don't know. Maybe it's somebody who's not even on the Phillies, but I know he gave up a homer. He got rocked at Philly this year. Right.
That would be nobody currently on the Phillies has homered against him.
Gotcha. All right.
So it could have been Howie Kendrick.
Freddie Galvis has a homer. Freddie Galvis.
What the hell?
Yeah, man.
I have Freddy Galvis is 0-5 against him.
1-7, Homer.
They don't. I bet you they don't have
this year's.
Gotta love pulling sources and them being inaccurate.
This has been a common theme this year, though. We both have different numbers, so we shall see. All right, let's move along to first baseman there tonight. Who are you looking at?
I mean, I don't know how you can go past. I mean, Eric Hosmer and his BVP against Mr. Corey Kluber. That's a great way to get some tournament exposure.
It's a bit wonderful. 14-50, as Keith's alluding to. 9 extra base hits, 3 homers against Kluber.
6 doubles.
6 doubles. How do you like them apples?
Average exit velo, 96.7.
Jesus. I was thinking about Joey Votto in the ATL tonight going up against Rod Dickey. Interesting note here, Votto has not posted a 0 since July 25th. Now, of course, then they get your 3s, your 9s, things of that magnitude, but most of those are double-digit points. He's been absolutely crushing it, so Votto, a guy that I really like tonight. Also, he's faced Dickey 9 times, 4-9, 2 extra base hits with a homer against him. So I don't mind that one there. And then you want to get really crazy in tournaments tonight. Will Myers, 4-13, 3 extra base hits, 2 homers against Max Scherzer in his career.
Yeah, and realize that if you play any of these guys, then you're fading the ultimate chalk tonight in Joey Gallo versus James Shields. And you just have to pray that he strikes out about 4 times.
I can't wait to see his homer prop tonight. It's probably going to be like...
Plus 175?
Yes. Yeah, good point. What am I thinking? I'm glad you're here today because there's a lot of things I'm not thinking about and I should be. So.
Cody Bellinger. I mean, first base is loaded with ability today, as it usually is. Sweet Jesus. Carlos Santana has looked phenomenal lately. Edwin's looked phenomenal lately. The problem is you can only play one of them. They're only about $400 apart on FanDuel. They are $800 apart on DraftKings. I don't think you have to get cute. Just pick one of these guys that grades out well, that has a good projection, and run with it, because you've got all those guys are phenomenal plays tonight.
Yeah, you take your and I was
running
jump Forrest. All right, second baseman, do you know who the top hitter in the majors on Fridays is this season?
Didn't you tell me it was Jose Altuve?
No. Okay. That must have been a different day of the week. But Daniel Murphy, interestingly enough, on Fridays this season, he's hitting .441, 1.349 OPS, and 6 homers on Fridays this season. Gets a good matchup against Luis Perdomo today, who is not very good against lefties. So all the stars could be aligned here, my friend.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Murphy hasn't been doing that well lately, but I'm telling you, Fridays, he could come alive. He could come alive. He's actually, last couple days, he was only at like 3,300, something like that, like something ridiculous. But he has popped up here to 3,600. FanDuel knows what he does on Fridays. Just saying.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right. Rougie Odor as well, going up against Shields. Fantastic matchup. Can't hate that. He's been hitting eighth lately. What is up with that? They switched him and Joey Gallo.
Yeah, that's because Gallo's hitting the ball to the moon. So when you're doing that, then you get moved up in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Can't forget about Mr. Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah.
God, second base is loaded tonight, too.
Well, it is a Friday. Places are going to be loaded.
I mean, You got Rugi. You've got Solarte, who doesn't look like FanDuel did their, you know, tempt us against Max Scherzer pricing today. So don't have to worry about that.
Interesting.
Either that or, well, I mean, Solarte was 3,900 yesterday and he's 2,900 today. So.
No. Solarte. No, that was Spangenberg.
Sorry. You're right. Spangenberg.
Who posted a?
Zero. This is what I'm saying. You can't be a slave to pricing. It's just not. It's not what you should do in.
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? Yesterday, like, if you played the late slate last night, you pretty much had enough money to fit any single person that you wanted to in, and that was just an easy fit there for people to go to Spangenberg. And it's easy to see the 40-point games that he's been putting up, but as I recall, too, you know, he's from the Philly area. Two of those games were against Philly, so he went bananas, and one against the Dodgers where – but again, Corey Spangenberg is not a 40-point player. Like, you know, just below 20 is like where he maxes out a lot. So to see him at 3,900 was just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's different there's such a thing as paying up to be contrarian, and there's such a thing as chasing points and being stupid.
I am very interested, though, now that you mentioned the lack of dynamic pricing on the Padres tonight. Typically, when we see that from a team, that's when the opposing pitcher goes bananas, where, you know, when we see these guys at like 1,500, 2,000, somewhere along
that. Yeah, but FanDuel doesn't do predictive pricing like DraftKings does, so I don't pay as much attention to it.
They do. I mean, they've done it plenty of times. That's exactly.
Yeah, but they only do it against guys like Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer. So, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, it's just something that I noticed. You know, I mean, Will Myers is still $3,700. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me on why they would do it two starts ago, and then now all of a sudden they won't.
Oh, yeah, they know.
All right, fade Scherz.
That's all I needed. Okay, great. Good, great, grand, wonderful. Second base. What else we got here?
Jonathan Scope.
Scope. I don't mind.
As far as grades are concerned, he's the highest rated. 114.23 DFSA grade. It's so tempting to sit there and say that you can't pay $3,700 for Jonathan Scope, but him going up against Andrew Haney in the middle of that lineup in Baltimore, hopefully with no weather issues.
I didn't even look at those yet.
There's rain. I don't know the severity of it. There's rain, though. So I
DFS
don't know.
Weather Channel. Boom.
Yep. So it's very, very, very difficult to fade.
Ooh. Oh, I see what's going on here. All right, we're probably going to have rain early, and then it'll drift off later in the night. So. All
right, well, there you go.
They best to play. Jesus, second base. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm enamored with Murph. Odor, probably going to be the way that I go tonight. But Cesar Hernandez actually has pretty good numbers against Matt Moore short term. Don't mind him there. Sneaky good guy there from the right-hand side. And, again, I'm not too interested in a whole lot.
There you go.
All right, fair enough. Third base. A lot of options here tonight. What do you like?
Mike Moustakas jumps off the page. He's actually not only got good BVP, but a high DFSA rating. And he is $4,300.
Jesus. Fade every pitcher tonight.
He might be 3% owned.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow. That is crazy. See, now we got to fade Kluber as well. Fade everyone. Everyone gets faded.
It's hard to go against Manny Machado. If Nolan's in the lineup, then – and guys, if you're worried about Nolan's hand, don't, because he said that if he has to alter his swing to play, that he's not going to play. He said it doesn't hurt to swing. It had a little bit of swelling. It was a blowout game yesterday. That's why they took him out. They said the only time it really, really hurts is when it gets hit directly. Now, that could happen at any moment. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we saw him come back the day after he got hit and he sat out a game, hit a bomb to straightaway center field. So, I'm not worried about Nolan if he's in the lineup. Now, if he's not in the lineup, it's Ryan McMahon all day long, especially at 3K. But, I mean, you got Manny Machado, you got Justin Turner, Alex Bregman, Eugenio Suarez, Adrian Beltre, Jake Lamb versus Irvin Santana. I mean, Luis Valbuena against Jeremy Hellickson, I guess, if you want to take a shot there.
Oh, yeah. I would argue he's the best value play on the board today.
2,400, yes, because when Rafael Devers is 3,700 and Luis Valbuena is 2,400, and arguably Valbuena has been just as good, if not better, than Devers since Devers came up. I mean, it's... Yeah. You can get very creative with a lot of good matchups today. And this could be one of those days where you just need to.
Here's my thing with Valbuena. We saw with him, you know, very streaky hitter. But we saw with him when he was on his latest streak, he homers 3 days in a row. I believe a couple after that, you know, he posted some decent games. But the last game of that series in Washington, he looked amazing at the plate. Hit a double deep, homered in his next at bat, and just looked good. But again, against Hellickson, this is a matchup I would certainly love to take advantage of. Again, just at 2,400, I don't think you're going to get a better point per dollar play today. I think it's that real. And your boy, Ryan McMahon, again, if Nolan doesn't play tonight, I like that matchup for him there, of course. All right, I like that. Back to Machado, though, for a sec. 11 for 27, 6 extra base hits, 2 homers, 8 RBIs over the last 6 games. But more importantly, only 1 strikeout in that span. You know me, love guys making contact. It's a good sign of seeing the ball well.
Yes, it is.
All right. And that Moustakas versus Kluber. Did you rattle off the exact numbers? Because they're quite monumental.
yeah, they are. Because they're not quite as, you know, hard-hitting as far as, you know, home runs. But 17 for 37 with 6 doubles and a home run. And he does have 8 strikeouts to 3 walks, but an average exit velocity of 93 today.
My goodness. Very good. Very good. All right, let's move to shortstops. Now, speaking of guys not striking out, we've got 2 guys in this criteria tonight. So Elvis Andrews has looked great. 4.69 on base percentage, 12 runs over the last 7 games, only 1 strikeout in that span as well. He's got good BVP against Shields, 13 for 32 at 4 extra base hits. I mean, it's Elvis Andrews, folks. He's crushing. And then Gene Segura, he's kind of surprised here. 11 for 25, only 2 extra base hits, but no strikeouts over the last 6 games. So, you know, again, 2 guys both seeing the ball very well.
Yeah, as opposed to Trevor Story, who hits 2 home runs and goes bananas that one day and then comes back out and strikes out 3 times.
That's so Trevor Story.
It is so Trevor Story. His glove is what's keeping him in the freaking majors right now.
I did not realize how good a defender he was. I forget what game it was. It was a day game I was watching. He's just making, like, every single play. I said, yeah, bravo, Trevor. Bravo.
I like Zach Cozart versus Dickey.
Okay.
440 WOBA, 333 ISO. Depending on what the knuckleball does, now it's always something to kind of take into consideration. But depending on what that knuckleball does, it could be, you know, good or bad. Paul DeJong obviously hasn't kept up the pace that he was going, but still not a bad option. Corey Seager versus Zimmerman. Kettle Marte is getting a lot of run for Arizona right now with Chris Owings on the DL. And Brandon Drury struggling. They're playing Daniel Descalzo at second and Kettle Marte at short. And these guys are hitting. So I think my favorite play of the night, though, might be, and I keep going back to these guys, might be Tim Beckham.
Okay. Yeah, he's hot. He's hot. He's rocking lately. You know what's in it? We keep talking about this Baltimore Angels game. Angelton Simmons has dropped all the way down to 3,000. Now, I know he hasn't been hitting that well of late, but we're talking about, you know, one of the better hitters since the All-Star break. And, you know, hitless in the last four again. But again, Jeremy Hellickson, he's the kind of guy that can get you back on the straight and narrow. So I'm interested in that price of Angelton Simmons. Obviously, you've got far better plays at the position, but
can I sell you on it?
Absolutely.
389 WOBA, 159 ISO, which is actually pretty high for him, but at 84.55 DFSA grade.
Okay, I like that.
Third highest at the position currently.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so maybe a little Simmons Valbuena mini going.
And then throwing the two outfielders, yeah, I could see it.
All right. Let's see what else we got here at third base. I'm sorry, we're on to shortstops.
Guys, if Pat Vlaik is in that lineup with Ryan McMahon on the left side of that infield, then that's two guys in Coors for 6K. I don't think they're both going to be in there, but because Vlake is a righty and he's a good option off the bench to kind of do a double switch and stuff like that. But if by chance they both are, then that's something that, and or if Vlake starts at third over McMahon for Nolan tonight, then you can fade Trevor Story and go to Vlake. So, I mean, there's options depending on what Bud Black throws out, but there are some cheaper bats in Coors tonight that you can go to.
Sure. All right. Let's just finish it out with the outfielders here. Very hard to get off of Giancarlo Stanton these days. Guy's absolutely mashing, hitting 500, five homers, nine RBIs, eight runs over the last six games. Gotta love that. You know, we talked in the open about the Mets and the Marlins total jumping up a full run. Both teams' IRTs are going pretty well. That's looking pretty good. Again, a couple weather concerns, but they should be able to get that one in tonight. And that's what I got. And again, you know, we're looking at some of these Rangers outfielders as well going up against James Shields. In particular, Nomar Mazara has got 13 RBIs over the last seven games. I enjoy that. Shinjin Chu should get on base a couple times tonight against Shields as well. So, again, both guys are going to be probably a little more popular than we'd like on a 15-game slate, but there is no substitution for a great matchup.
Sure, there is a slightly worse one with better ownership percentage.
Hey, let it go. That was a good send.
So if I were to tell you that Giancarlo Stanton
back later.
If I were to tell you that Giancarlo Stanton's ISO is over 500,
Jesus,
in the last 30 days.
I mean, versus, I've been watching the television. I could see that.
Versus right-handed pitching, you would think that I would be like calling you crazy.
Sure.
However, I'm not. It is a cool 539. Nice. However, there is a player over the last 30 days versus that handedness of pitchers that they're facing tonight that has a higher ISO.
Wait. So this is from the Marlins.
No, not from the Marlins. Just a player in a matchup tonight that has a higher ISO versus the handedness of pitching that they're facing than Giancarlo Stanton.
Really?
And I'm not counting Rhys Hoskins at a 545 because he's just been called up recently. So, I'm talking more of an everyday type
player. By the way, when the Phillies get correct, Hoskins, Altair, Nick Williams, I mean, really, come on. It's going to be lights out for the rest of the league. But, I don't even know. Oh, this is tough, man. I guess I'd hand in this a pitcher. I would say Josh Donaldson, but he's not on the slate. So.
Right. We talk about him often, but we don't think of him as being on this type of tear.
I don't know, man.
And he's not like your super superstar. He's like one of your second tier type players.
Yeesh. I don't even know. I'm so flabbergasted right now.
Justin Upton.
Really?
Yes. 594 WOBA, 720 ISO versus left-handed
against
pitching.
Handedness of pitcher. I was thinking we're going up against the righty, and I probably wouldn't have guessed Upton, but interesting. No, I like it. And again, even last night when I finally looked at the lines, I was talking with a couple guys in the MLB channel, but that is a very sneaky spot for the Tigers tonight, you know? And yeah, granted, the Tigers hit left-handed pitching very well, but when you see a guy like, Rich Hill on the mound and he's involved in a game with a 10 over-under, that should be saying something to you. But again, I think what one of the guys said last night was that we're going to have pretty big winds blowing out of Tiger Stadium tonight. They're going to be 10 to 12 mile an hour winds. Nothing we haven't seen before, but certainly better that wind is going out rather than coming in. So yeah, I can get behind that.
There you go.
Okay, we've got so many great outfielders today. So, I don't even know where to begin. Now, remember, I talked about at the beginning, I do like Carlos Martinez tonight. However, two Pirates have very good BVP against Carlos Martinez. Gregory Polanco, 12-24, 5 extra base hits, 3 of those homers against him, and then Starling Marte, 11-22, 2 extra base hits. Not as great as Polanco, but it's there.
Yeah, I would rather, instead of playing Cespedes, I would rather play Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, by the way, Polanco's on the DL. Well, I knew this as I was saying it. I had to finish it, but he's on the DL. It doesn't even matter.
I would much rather play Yasiel Puig. 411 WOBA, 263 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. A guy that you could probably go back to that, our Army members were not too happy with last night. Nicky Delmonico.
Yeah, what's up with this guy? I played him last night because it looked like, Texas against Ross.
He got pinch hit for because they brought in a lefty to pitch the last two innings after the White Sox pulled within two. They brought in the lefty to kind of close it out, and he just got pinch hit for by Tyler Saladino in his last at bat. But I mean, he hit a couple balls hard. They were just right at people. Elvis Andrews made a pretty good play on one. He drove the ball, and I think it was Chu made not a great play, but kind of ran it down in the outfield. So, I mean, he's been hitting the ball hard, but my ringing endorsement for him is the fact that he was on MLB Central this morning.
Oh, okay. Now, I see that total, or I'm sorry, not the total, but the money line has jumped extensively here for the Giants tonight. They're all the way up to minus 165. So, Jarrett Parker.
Where did it open at?
I believe 120 something. I gotta see. Maybe not. Maybe 140. I think it was 140 it opened up, but keeps going up. But again, I think this has more to do with the offense since our boy Zach Eflin from the Phillies is on the mound tonight. But it's just Jarrett Parker's been swinging the bat pretty well, even if he's not. The numbers don't show it. He's been absolutely crushing some balls. So. I could certainly get on board with him, especially if he's batting third for really cheap tonight against Eflin. I think this is a matchup that could put Parker Parker could put a ball in the damn water tonight. So look out for that one.
When was the last time we had a splash hit?
Somebody hit one, but I thought it bounced in. It wasn't like a direct splash.
No, I'm talking
hit.
Like a Barry direct Bonds hit. Splash.
Oh, 2004. I made that up, but yeah. it feels like it, you know.
I can't remember. Them.
That no, like obviously players getting bigger, stronger, everything. Like really, none of you guys can hit it out there. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know Cargo had one, but it was foul. Remember that earlier this year?
I don't.
Oh yeah, Cargo just hit an absolute like. The longest foul ball I've ever it was a splash hit, but it was foul. Mm. So I think he's actually got one in real life, like in an actual game, like that counts for a home run, but I can't remember the last time I've seen it.
All right.
I got a buddy of mine that was a bride or a groomsman that's a Giants fan. I should just ask him.
Fair enough. I want to see here with, let's see, Sal Romano goes for the Reds tonight. I could have some interest here in Ender Inciarte. Been one of the hotter hitting outfielders in the league of late. Got the OBP at 481 over the last week.
Don't pay attention to that ISO.
I enjoy those numbers.
Just because he went double dong yesterday.
Yeah. But no, I mean, even with that, still getting on base. Looking good. Of course, Charlie Blackmon against Garza. How could you not like that?
Carlos Gonzalez has got pretty good BVP against him, too.
What are those numbers?
As far as power numbers, he's got 3 home runs and a double. He's 4 for 17. It's only a 235 average. But what interests me is the fact that out of all the outfielders in Coors, he could be the lowest owned one on the Rockies, and he's got power. And, I mean, say what you want to say about how Carlos Gonzalez has played this year. If you look at his numbers over the last 30 days, he does have a 326 WOBA. It's not as bad as it was at the beginning of the season. So, no. I mean, for GPPs, if you're multi-entering, I don't hate it. Not my favorite, but I don't hate it.
No, I know I'm probably the one that's given him the most shit out of anybody, but he has looked like his swing is back recently, so
mm-hmm.
I'll give him that. I'm kind of interested in Adam Duvall tonight.
I loved him yesterday. and then after the second inning, the Reds just decided that they weren't going to attack the way they were, and the Reds scoring just seemed to stop. This is the second time in a week the Reds have teased me.
You know what was interesting? So yesterday we were talking in the MLB channel during the game, and I forgot. Oh, somebody brought it up. And when the game was 9-0 Reds or 8-0, whatever it was, the odd, like you could do live betting odds. So the Cubs at that point were, I believe they were plus 1,100. At the point that they were down, and you know, a $10 bet could have got you freaking what $110 on that one if they came back and win. Ended up losing the game, but they made it very interesting. So that is definitely something I would have taken action on because the Cubs were what minus 220 yesterday. So you know, and with the way the wind was blowing out,
making it interesting cost me money.
Yeah. Woof. Yeah, so Duvall there, I like, again, righties against the knuckleballer tend to have more success. Yoenis Cespedes, yeah, he's actually running like 100% nowadays, which is a huge deal for Cespedes. So I guess that means he feels good, but he does have 3 homers in the last 6 games. You know, a couple of those in Philly, which is fine. But again, he's going to have that great matchup against Nicolino tonight, so I dig it.
Yep, I agree.
All right, cool. Anybody else?
Nope.
We got him? All right, cool. That'll do it for us today. If you want more info, make sure you go to dfsarmy.com. Check out all the great things we got going on. Football is just around the corner, folks. So all the great packages and everything are in tune with that. We actually have the DFS Army draft on Monday.
Is it this Monday?
Yeah, that's coming up. I'm looking very forward to that.
Oh, crap.
little more extra things to get ready for. And
I got the number one overall pick.
You do? Very nice. Very nice. And then I've got my hometown draft coming up on Friday. So, I'm glad that I get both my drafts done in the same week. Not too much layover for that. So that should be fun. I'm looking forward. I mean, 'tis the season, Keith.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, it's hysterical. I know everybody hate it's listening to everybody's home league or whatever, but we've got somebody was eligible to keep David Johnson in my league, and they could have had Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. They just totally missed the deadline to do it. So, womp womp. Sorry. The guy gets the first pick anyway, so he can have David Johnson, but he could have had both him and Le'Veon Bell. Terrible. All right. Nobody cares. That's great. We gone. We shall hear from you again on Monday. Peace out.
Peace out.